Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, April 18, 2024, 1 John.
All right, before we get started, just to remind you again, this Saturday at 10 a.m., we have work day or fun day. It's fun day this Saturday, starting at 10 a.m., Upland Bible Church, fun day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your Word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are in the great epistle, 1 John, which is the greatest dissertation on the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, the reason why we are here. And that ultimate objective is to have virtue, love brought to completion in our heart. And this virtue love is made up of three parts. The very first part that must be there before any others is personal love for God the Father. And if you don't develop personal love for God the Father, you will never, ever have impersonal love for all mankind. Oh, for a few people, you know, for a few believers or friends, you'll have a little love for them. But there will be a lot of people that you hate. If you don't have personal love for God the Father, you will not have impersonal love for all mankind. And you'll have the mental attitude sin of hate, and hate fellow believers. There'll be certain ones you hate. This has to be there first. If you don't ever develop personal love for God the Father, you will never have impersonal love for all mankind. Personal love for God the Father is the great motivational virtue. And that motivates you to have impersonal, not for a few, not to love a few and hate the rest, but impersonal love for all. And then the third part is occupation with Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is your most important love of your life. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Lord Jesus Christ makes himself at home. He makes himself at home in your heart, and you enjoy him. You enjoy him moment by moment, day by day. And there's no place in the scriptures that teach virtue love like the Apostle John in 1 John. We have just completed the greatest section on virtue love. 1 John 4, verse 7 through verse 19. 1 John 4, 7 to 19, that this is the high watermark of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, 7 to 19. Let's take a look at this because we've just completed this. Now we're going to go on to the conclusion, and the conclusion on virtue love will be found in 1 John 4, verse 20 through chapter 5, verse 17. But the high watermark on what John has been teaching on virtue love, 1 John 4, 7 to 19, we've completed that. So let's take a look at that corrected translation. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, royal family, let us love one another. That's loving one another. That's impersonal love for all. Because virtue love is from the source of God. Furthermore, everyone who loves impersonal love for all has been born from the source of God, regeneration, and he has come to know God, personal love for God the Father. You see, you have to have personal love for God the Father before you ever have impersonal love for all. And if you have impersonal love for all, guess what? You have come to know God. You have developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Verse 8, the one who does not love with impersonal love for all absolutely has not come to know God. You have no personal love for God the Father. You have no personal love for Jesus Christ because God is virtue love. By this, the unconditional love, impersonal love of God the Father for all mankind was manifested among us, in our case, namely that God has sent his unique Son into the world for the purpose that we might live, have the gift of eternal life, and also live the unique spiritual life by the agency of him. Verse 10, in this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all. Absolutely not that we had loved God, but that he, God the Father, loved us. And he sent his Son, the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, royal family, if God so loved us, impersonal love for all mankind, first class condition, and he has so loved all mankind with impersonal love, then we also are obligated to keep on loving one another with impersonal love for all. No one has ever seen God, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, God abides in us. We're living the spiritual life. And His love, virtue love, has been brought to completion in our hearts. Verse 13, by this impersonal love for all, we have come to know and to realize that we are menoing, abiding in Him, living the spiritual life, and He is menoing, abiding in us, because He has sent to us His Spirit, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit to live the spiritual life. Verse 14, indeed we have seen and bear witness that the Father, God the Father, has sent the Son, His eternal Son, to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, God resides in him, the indwelling of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and he in God, union with Christ, current positional truth. Verse 16, and we have come to know and have believed the virtue love, which virtue love God keeps on having for us. God is virtue love. In fact, the one who abides in virtue love abides in God, living the spiritual life, and God abides in him, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ. Verse 17, by this, living the spiritual life and having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts, with the result that we might have confidence in the day of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, because just as He, the Lord Jesus Christ, in hypostatic union is, so also are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in virtue love. The mental attitude sin of fear does not exist in virtue love. But mature virtue love drives out fear, because fear includes within itself, brings about, causes divine punishment. In fact, the one who fears, has the mental attitude sin of fear, has not been matured in the sphere of virtue love. Verse 19, we and only we, believers living the spiritual life, love with impersonal love for all, because He, God, first loved us with impersonal love for all. That is the Apostle John's high water mark. Verse 7 through verse 19. And the verb here that's used again and again and again, the verb that John uses for virtue love, agapao. A-G-A-P-A long O, agapao. And agapao is again what the Apostle John uses to teach the ultimate objective for each one of you, every one of us, in the short time while we're here, to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. But in this, at the end of this paragraph, John is emphasizing impersonal love for all mankind. We and only we, believers living the spiritual life, have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts and have impersonal love for all mankind because God first loved us with impersonal love for all. Now God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind is seen in the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. John 3:16, God loved the world so much, the whole world, all mankind, with impersonal love, unconditional impersonal love for all. God loved the world so much, He gave His uniquely born Son. He sent His eternal Son from heaven to earth on that first Christmas to take on true humanity in order to go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. He did that for the whole world, every member of the human race. Again, we see God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind, Romans 5:8. But God the Father, demonstrates His own virtue love, impersonal love for all, unconditional love for all mankind toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind is seen in the doctrine of unlimited atonement. Because in His plan of salvation in the cross, when His eternal Son, Jesus Christ, was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, not just the ones who would believe in Christ, but the sins of the whole world, and poured them out on Christ. And He judged the sins of the whole world in Christ. Unlimited atonement demonstrates God the Father's impersonal love, unconditional love for all mankind. Now God the Son's impersonal love for all mankind is seen in the fact that when the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." God the Son willingly carried out the incarnation plan of God the Father. He willingly left heaven and took on true humanity. He willingly went to the cross. He willingly bore the sins of the whole world. And He willingly received the judgment for those sins. That's God the Son's demonstration of impersonal love for all mankind. The present tense of agapao is the nomic present. The nomic present introduces a timeless axiom of Scripture. And the axiom is this: God loves all mankind unconditionally, unconditionally, with impersonal love for all, which is manifested by His plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. The active voice: God the Father loved the world with unconditional impersonal love for all. And God the Son loved the world unconditionally with impersonal love for all. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. The accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego is us. Us refers to all mankind. Us refers to every member of the human race. We and only we, believers living the spiritual life, love with impersonal love for all, because He, God, first loved us with impersonal love for all. So the high water mark of 1 John is reached in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 19. Now we come to 1 John 4, verse 20 through chapter 5, verse 17, where we have John's conclusion. And now he crystallizes what he means by virtue love and how that virtue love can be realized in the believer's life. So now we have the conclusion, 1 John 4:20 through 5:17. First of all, in 1 John 4:20 to chapter 5, verse 3, virtue love is going to be clarified. Pay attention, because I have seen and heard believers say that they love God. Bullshit. They don't love God at all. And you know how I know they don't love God at all? Because they hate fellow believers. And if you hate fellow believers, you do not love God at all. You have no love for God at all. You're a liar. And we have so many Christians that are nothing but liars, hypocrites, phonies. They say they love God. They don't love God at all. When you hate any believer, any other believer, you are a hypocrite, you're a liar, you're a phony, you have no virtue love at all. And that characterizes most Christians today in America. So this 1 John 4:20 to 5:3, very important. Verse 20. If a man says, I love God. Oh, I can't tell you how many people I've heard say, I love God. And oh, they try to tell everybody else, oh, I love God. And try to pass themselves off as great believers. They're not great believers. They're losers. Total, absolute losers. They're not great believers. But they fake out a lot of other Christians. That's why this is so important. What we have here is the conditional particle aeon with the subjunctive of apon, plus the indefinite pronoun tis with the conjunction hati, plus the present active indicative of agapao, plus the accusative singular of theos with the definite article. The conditional particle aeon plus the subjunctive. When you have aeon plus a subjunctive, that introduces a third class condition. Third class condition. A plus the indicative is a first class condition, but aeon plus a subjunctive introduces a third class condition, which says, maybe you do love God, maybe you don't. And the ones that John is talking about don't love God. So aeon is correctly translated if. And then we have the enclitic indefinite pronoun tis. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Tis is an enclitic indefinite pronoun, and the indefinite pronoun refers to a specific and definite category of believers. Now, in our verse, this specific, definite category of believers are believers living in Satan's cosmic system. The only thing that is indefinite is that their names have been omitted, and this protects the privacy of the priesthood. Tis may be translated someone, somebody, anyone. And then we have apon. The verb apon. E-I-P-O-N. Apon. Now, apon sometimes means to say or to speak, but not in this verse. It also means to claim, to allege, to contend. They fight a good fight with their mouth, but not with their life. To claim, to allege, to contend. In the subjunctive mood with the conditional particle aeon, it introduces a third-class condition. Apon, of course, is one of the verbs of decende, saying, speaking, claiming, alleging, contending. And after verbs of decende, like apon, then the conjunction hati is correctly translated that. It introduces an object clause. It introduces what these believers claim, what these believers allege, what these believers contend. And then this is what they contend. They contend, oh, I love God. And they've snowed a lot of other believers. But they haven't snowed John. Agapao is the Apostle John's verb for virtue, love. And here it is emphasizing the believer's personal love for God the Father. So one, this believer claims that he has personal love for God the Father. This believer claims that he has personal love for God the Father. Two, however, John says, if you hate your fellow believer, then you are a liar. You are not living the spiritual life. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. However, John says, if you hate your fellow believer, then you are a liar. You're not living the spiritual life. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. Three, there are a lot of believers who claim that they love God. But then they turn around and hate their fellow believer. There are a lot of believers who claim they love God, but then they turn around and hate their fellow believer. Four, it's easy to say you love God, just kind of rolls out of your mouth. Because God is perfect. Perfect virtue, perfect integrity. So it's easy to say you love God. Five, it's also easy to hate many believers. Because they're sinners. Here's a question. If there's anyone here who is not a sinner, raise your hand. You must be Jesus Christ. And you've come back early. Otherwise, everyone in here is a sinner. All believers are sinners. And Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all sins on the cross. So it's also easy to hate believers, many believers, because they're sinners. Degenerates, some are degenerate, some are apostate. 6. But we are commanded by the Lord to love all mankind, all fellow believers, with unconditional, impersonal love. But we are commanded by the Lord to love all mankind, all fellow believers, with unconditional, impersonal love. However, that is impossible if you do not have personal love for God the Father. However, that is impossible if you do not have personal love for God the Father. It is personal love for God the Father in virtue love. The first part that's developed in virtue love. First of all, personal love for God the Father is developed first. That first. Then impersonal love for all, because you have to have personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. And finally, occupation with Jesus Christ. However, that is impossible if you do not have personal love for God the Father. 8, personal love for God the Father is the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. Unconditional, impersonal love for all mankind, all fellow believers. And that is great functional virtue. So personal love for God the Father is the great motivational virtue that motivates unconditional, impersonal love for all mankind, all fellow believers. The great functional virtue. So far it says, if anyone claims, alleges, contends that I love God, and then it says, and hateth his brother. This is the conjunction chi plus the present active subjunctive of miseo plus the accusative singular of adelphos with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of autos. Now, the conjunction chi is not a connective chi like the King James has it. It should not be translated and. That's a wrong translation. This is an adversative chi. It's an adversative chi, and it should be translated and yet, or however, or but, we'll translate it, and yet he miseos. Not good. Not good to miseo. M-I-S-E long O, miseo. Miseo means to hate. It means to persecute someone from the mental attitude sin of hate. It means to detest. It means to abhor. To hate, to persecute someone with the mental attitude sin of hatred, to detest, to abhor. Two, hate is a mental attitude sin. It's a mental attitude sin. It is not a part of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control, and hate. Well, that's the way a lot of Christians would have to put it in there. It's not a part of the filling of the Spirit. It's not a part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's a demonstration that you're living. You have no spiritual life. You're not living the spiritual life. It demonstrates that you're living in Satan's cosmic system. You're in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. That's the cosmic system. You hate. There are certain believers you hate. But if there are certain people you hate, impersonal love is unconditional love for all mankind. And that includes unbelievers as well as believers. Unconditional, impersonal love for all. Hate is a mental attitude sin. Three, hate is the antithesis of virtue. And it is the antithesis of virtue love. You do not have virtue love if you have the mental attitude sin of hate. You are not a mature believer. You have not had virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You do not love God. You're a liar. You're a hypocrite. Hate is the antithesis of virtue and the antithesis of virtue love. Four, hate demonstrates that you are living in Satan's cosmic system. And it demonstrates that you have no spiritual life at all. Hate demonstrates that you are living in Satan's cosmic system and that you have no spiritual life at all. You're not a mature believer. You're not a winner believer. You're a loser believer. Five. Hate in your soul toward others means you are living in cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, and cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. Satan's the one who invented the cosmic system to rule planet Earth. And you know what? He is ruling most Christians in America as well as the unbelievers. He's ruling people all over planet Earth. Sad part is, he is ruling most Christians on planet Earth. You see, you have an enemy. I don't know if you realize it, but Satan is your enemy. His name means adversary. He's your enemy. And he tries to make you, get you entrapped. Entrapped in his cosmic system. And he is ruling not only the unbelievers over planet Earth, he's ruling, unfortunately, most believers on planet Earth because they're living in his cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. Six, when you have the mental attitude sin of hatred, well, there's something that goes with it. That motivates you to have sins of the tongue. That motivates you to have sins of the tongue. And now you judge, you malign, you slander, you gossip. Now you are judging, maligning, slandering, gossiping. In other words, the principle is now you try to destroy the one you hate through your sins of the tongue. Judging, maligning, slandering, gossip. So now you try to destroy the one that you hate. 7. The arrogant believer tries to harm others by slandering their reputation. The arrogant believer tries to harm others by slandering their reputation. And then we have Adelphos. A-D-L-P-H-O-S. Adelphos. Literally, it means brother, but it's a technical term in the New Testament scriptures, church age doctrine for the royal family of God. And it refers to fellow believers. And then we have the intensive pronoun autos. Actually, well, except for the alpha, it looks pretty much like the English. That's autos, not autos. And autos is used for... It's an intensive pronoun in classical Greek, but most of the time in Koine Greek, it's used for the third person personal pronoun. And this is translated his fellow believer. His fellow believer. Corrected translation. If anyone claims, alleges, contends that I love God, and yet he hates his fellow believer. If anyone claims, alleges, contends that I love God, and yet he hates his fellow believer, he is a liar. This is the present active indicative of a me plus the predicate nominative of selfstes. E-I-M-I, A-M-E, is, he is what? He is a selfstase. P-S-E-U-S-T, long E-S, selfstase. Liar. He is a liar. In his life, he's living a lie. And that characterizes so many Christians today. Sad to say, but it is. If anyone claims, alleges, contends that I love God, and yet he hates his fellow believer, he is a liar. John is very dogmatic here. 1. This believer claims to be a great believer. Fools a lot of other believers. He claims to be a great believer. Why? Because he tells other people that he loves God. So this believer claims to be a great believer because he has snowed other believers and tells them that he loves God. Two, what he really is a great hypocrite. What he really is a great hypocrite who alleges to love God, but actually hates his fellow believer. What he really is a great hypocrite who alleges to love God, but hates his fellow believer. Three, this believer hates certain believers, which means he has no spiritual life at all. This believer hates certain believers, which means he has no spiritual life at all. He is living in Satan's cosmic system. Four, therefore, he is a liar and he is living a lie. His life is a lie. He is a liar and he is living a lie. His life is a lie. Five, when the believer lives his life in the cosmic system, when the believer lives his life in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, he winds up being divorced from reality. He winds up being divorced from reality. Six, when you hate your fellow believer, you do not love God. When you hate your fellow believer, you do not love God. Seven, the allegation of loving God is self-deception. Self-deception and hypocrisy resulting from living in the cosmic system. The allegation of loving God is self-deception and hypocrisy resulting from living in the cosmic system. Eight, the more hatred in your life, the more you are divorced from reality in life. The more hatred in your life, the more you are divorced from reality in life. And the more you divorce yourself from reality in life, well, the closer you become to a psychotic believer, a neurotic believer, a believer with mental illness. And you know what? There are multitudes and multitudes of believers who have mental illness. They're psychotic, they're neurotic, and they're in mental institutions. When I was at WSU, I majored in English. I minored in psychology. Well, what part of the minor in psychology was they took us all out to the mental institution in Washington, at the state of Washington. Took our whole class out, we went through. And as I was going through, I recognized a believer in Jesus Christ. Believer who had been in the church, Spokane Bible Church, in the mental institution in the state of Washington. That was way back, about 1,000 years ago. Today, there are more and more and more Christians in mental institutions all over this nation. And they, how'd they get there? By bad decisions. Bad decision. Oh, they would say that how much they love God, but they had mental attitude. You have mental attitude sins of hatred. We had also about in virtue love, mental attitude sin of fear. Oh my gosh, there are so many Christians that have fear. They look at what's going on in the world. They look at what's going on in the Middle East. They look at what's going on in America. Crime is rampant. It's all over. We are rewarding the criminal and viewing the honorable people with virtue as our enemies, like law enforcement. Law enforcement, the police officer, they're honorable and virtuous. Oh, there will be a once in a while one that's not. But they are protectors. Protecting your freedom within the country from criminal activity. But the criminals have taken over and the liberals are letting them take over. It's okay. They can come in now and steal anything. They go into us. Now that they're locking up. Deb was telling me today that they are locking up detergents. They're locking up detergents. Why? Because it's being stolen. People just come in and steal it. I used to go to Total Wine. And they had some really top-notch, high-quality wines out there. No! All they got now is two-buck shucks out there. All the rest of us locked up. They gotta go in and get it. Why? Because crime. People just go in and steal it and take it. Go into stores and just steal things. They're destroying businesses. And we're rewarding them. They say, oh, they have the right to do that. They don't have the right to do that. We're living in crime, crime-infested nation. It's wrong, wrong, wrong. We should be supporting law enforcement 100%. But this is the time, and so we have a lot of Christians that are afraid. They have fear, mental attitude, sin of fear. They're afraid to go walking. They're afraid to go shopping. They're afraid to do just about anything. Well, Satan's won the victory. He's got you entrapped in his cosmic system. Same thing with the mental attitude, sin of hatred. So the more you hatred in your life, the more you're divorced from reality in life. 9, this believer alleges to love God, and yet he hates his fellow believer. And therefore, he is divorced from reality, and he does not love God. This believer alleges to love God, and yet he hates his fellow believer, and therefore he is divorced from reality, and he does not love God. So the corrected translation so far sounds like this. If anyone claims, alleges, contends that I love God, and yet he hates his fellow believer, he is a liar. Now here's the principle, point 1. Your relationship with God determines your relationship with man. Your relationship with God determines your relationship with man. See, personal love for God has to come first. This way. When you have that, then you can have impersonal love for all. But first, the vertical. Your relationship with God determines your relationship with man. Two, the motivational virtue of personal love for God must precede the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. The motivational virtue of personal love for God must precede the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. Three, when the believer lives the spiritual life and advances to spiritual maturity, then virtue love is brought to completion in his heart. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life, this unique spiritual life of the church age. When the believer lives the spiritual life and advances to spiritual maturity, then virtue love is brought to completion in his heart. Four, then motivational virtue of personal love for God will motivate him to have the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. Unconditional impersonal love for all. Point four. Then the motivational virtue of personal love for God will motivate him to have the functional virtue of unconditional impersonal love for all and not hatred. And not hatred. Five, however, when the believer is living his life in the cosmic system, then he has no virtue love in his heart. However, when the believer is living his life in the cosmic system, he has no virtue love in his heart. He has no personal love for God the Father. He has no impersonal love. He has no unconditional impersonal love for all. He has no occupation with Christ. Six, there is no virtue and no virtue love in the cosmic system. There is no virtue and no virtue love in the cosmic system, but there is a lot of arrogance and a lot of hatred. Cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance. Cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. There is no virtue and no virtue love in the cosmic system, but there is a lot of arrogance and a lot of hatred. In cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance. Cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. Seven, personal love for God must precede unconditional, impersonal love for all. Personal love for God must precede unconditional, impersonal love for all. Eight, you cannot have the functional virtue of impersonal love for all without the motivational virtue of personal love for God. You cannot have the functional virtue of impersonal love for all without the motivational virtue of personal love for God. 9. This believer alleges that he loves God, but he obviously does not love God because he hates his fellow believer. He has no unconditional, impersonal love for all. This believer alleges that he loves God, but he obviously does not love God. How does he demonstrate? He might as well walk around with a sign. I don't love God. I hate my fellow believer. This believer alleges that he loves God, but he obviously does not love God because he hates his fellow believer. He has no unconditional, impersonal love for all. See old John just getting warmed up. Verse 20 so far, if anyone claims, alleges, contends that I love God, and yet he hates his fellow believer, he is a liar. This is very, very powerful. And John had these kind of believers in his congregation. Oh, they had snowed a lot of the people in the congregation, but they didn't snow John. Well, we're just getting warmed up. And this conclusion goes from verse 20 all the way to chapter 5, verse 17. And I figure by about 2026 I ought to finish this. Just kidding. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We thank you. Thank you for the absolute truth of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.